Hello and welcome to Soulful Valley, the podcast for people who want to improve their quality of life through caring about their mental, emotional and spiritual well-being. I'm your host, Katie Carey, and I will be sharing wisdom and ideas from myself and some expert authors, coaches and energy healers that could be just what you need to hear to transform your life today. In today's episode, we welcome Simon Benn. Simon works with parents to help them to help their children be more confident, resilient and happy. He does this based on what he's learned working with 1,600 children. He also shows parents how to make their children bully-proof so that others can't upset them. He also works with adopters and adoptees, helping them with what comes up for them, because he was adopted himself.
You gotta love yourself with all your heart. If you don't already, it's time to start. 'Cause nothing's gonna work out until you do.
Hello and welcome to Soulful Valley, Simon.
Hi, Katie.
Hello.
Good to be here.
I love that you're a children's happiness expert.
Yeah.
I so wish that you were around when my children were young. They're all in their 20s now. I could have done with support from someone like you.
Well, yeah, I could have done with me when I was little as well, you know. But I thought it was pretty cool, actually. So I used to call myself a children's happiness coach, but that makes everybody think that I just work with kids. And so I thought, okay, well, what should I call myself now? All right, children's happiness expert. Okay, right. And then what I heard from somebody secondhand was, actually the mothers that I work with, Simon, they really don't like you. And I thought, oh, they don't like the colour. They don't like the purple. Oh, right, they don't like the pink. All right, okay. No, they really don't like the word children's happiness expert. Well, she didn't say it quite as straightforwardly as that, because we all live in this middle class world where nobody really tells each other what they're thinking, do they? Not to their face, anyway. And I thought, oh God, children's happiness expert, that's actually holding me back. Mums are thinking and dads are thinking that I am dissing them. They are taking it personally. They believe that, yes, of course, my children, are you saying my kids aren't happy? I don't need a children's happiness expert. Are you saying I'm a bad mother? Are you saying my kids are unhappy? Oh, no. So, yeah, it's a funny one. So I've dropped that, actually. I've dropped the children's happiness expert on the basis of, well, if mums think that I am somehow, think that I'm better than them, then they won't want to work with me. So, yeah.
That's interesting. I suppose it depends on who you are and how you perceive that, doesn't it? For me, that looked exciting to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought it was pretty cool too.
I struggled through parenting, as a lot of us do. And then I learned mindfulness. And then I became a much calmer person. I'm a different person now with my grandchildren than I was with my children. So I could have done with that a few years back, but it's okay. I forgive myself.
That's good.
Try and get it right with the next generation. Like we can ever get it right. Like there's ever a wrong.
Well, we're already right, aren't we?
Of course we are.
One of the things that I love about this is the fact that we arrive on this planet right, don't we?
Perfect.
You know,
beautiful.
I keep on trying this joke in a slightly different way. So if you don't think it's funny, can you laugh with me? So, you know, no baby, right, has ever turned around and looked at their pampers on their behind, which they haven't filled up yet, and said, "Does my bum look big in this?"
No.
She laughed. It was a quiet laugh, but I could see it in her eyes.
I'm in a quite high vibration after what led up to this podcast.
Cool.
We were laughing when we start before we started, weren't we? So
laughing, yeah.
You got me. You caught me.
So we don't arrive with these hang-ups, just to sticking for gender stereotypes for a minute, right? So I didn't look at my little a hospital band on my wrist, plastic, you know, with my name tag on it, which actually didn't say Simon Benn, it said David Anthony Flower. Because I was adopted, right? So I've had two names. I didn't look at my little wrist, my little plastic wristband, and say, "Oh, I wish that was a Rolex." You know, we're not born thinking that physical things are going to make us happy, or that our size of our bums makes us sad. We arrive perfect. We just pick up the rubbish. We arrived on this planet perfect. The crap that we've picked up, it isn't us. You know, how can it be us? You know, look into your baby's eyes for the first time and you see that purity and that love. That's who we are.
Yeah. So what led to you doing this kind of work with children?
Well, to put it bluntly, business success didn't make me happy. And it didn't stop me worrying about failure. It took me a long time to get to somewhere like business success. And I hit a big target. And it didn't stop me worrying about the future. And it was like a hollow victory. So the easiest way that I can express this is, you know, when you see somebody on telly and they've just won something, like a gold medal or a football match or something like that, and they say, I don't think it's really landed for me. You heard them say that? I don't think it's sunk in yet.
Mm.
Yeah. People often say, I don't think it's sunk in yet. And what I think that they mean by that is that the victory isn't what they thought it was going to be. They thought that getting this gold medal, which they've been working on for the last 4 years, has been a hollow victory. And their expectations have not been met. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I was, right? That's how I was. So I went, so this was about 2008, I think. So I went looking out. I went looking for what was going to make me happy. And so I got into some stuff and I learned some things, and it helped me enormously. And one day I was chatting to my coach, and I just said to her, so it's about this time of year, actually, 2010. Yeah. 10 years ago. I just blurted out. It was just a new idea. Completely came to my head from nowhere. I don't know where it came from. I just said, I want your job. I want to be a coach. I want to help others. And so I tried a couple of things, and then, which didn't work out. Which was good, actually, because I'd always thought that failure kind of, I thought that failing made me a failure, or would make me a failure. It didn't. So that was good.
And that's the biggest thing that people think when they're going to try something new, isn't it? That they think they're going to fail at it, so they don't bother.
Yeah.
But trying these things and the journey of trying these things actually expands you to the direction that you're meant to go in, I feel.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Yeah, so I woke up in one morning in July 2013 with the idea of a kids book, and then that kind of, I started writing the book. Mm. The book got to about 10,000 words. I had a writing coach. I was all down that way. And then I started sharing that with, because I was going to go down a school's route. Started sharing that. Nobody had time to read the book to tell me whether they thought it was any good. So I thought, well, if they don't read it, they won't use it. And if they won't use it, then it won't have any impact with the kids. Yeah. So the book became a comic, and then started doing activity sessions in schools. And I keep on going on. So
how does... I noticed that it says that you bully-proof children. How does that work? What does that entail?
Well, can I ask you, because I always answer that question when I get asked it.
Yeah.
What do you think it means?
Well, you teach children how to deal with being bullied.
All right.
Okay. I was bullied at school. I had one of my children bullied as well. I didn't have the perception then to deal with it in the way that I would deal with that now either. Age does now bring some wisdom, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You knew these things 20 years
hopefully.
Ago. Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. Hopefully I'll get wiser. I'm 53. I don't want to be a grumpy old man.
I'm happier than I've ever been. I'm happier with myself. And even though I've got, you know, if someone's looking in at me, they would think that I would be miserable because I'm on my own and I'm disabled. But I'm actually quite happy. It's quite nice to be happy instead of trying to meet everyone else's expectations and keep everybody else happy. I'm keeping myself happy.
Are you guilty about feeling happy in a world that...
No, not anymore.
Tell us to be sad.
No, I'm not. No. I've chosen to look for the good in my life. But this year, I've taken a completely different focus and I've gone inwards. And I've sort of been responsible for my own well-being and my own health more than I ever have been. So I feel happy. It's not about the rest of the world. It's about me.
Yeah.
And now I don't feel guilty about that anymore.
No, that's good. I'm glad to ask you that question. I'm glad to ask you that question because there's so much negative stuff, isn't there?
Mm.
And I met somebody the other week and they started wringing their hands and saying, "Well, how are you coping?" And I was like, we've been coping with lockdown since March. Mm. What? There's nothing new. Nothing new here. So back to your question then.
Bulletproofing children.
Bulletproofing. It's all wrapped in what you've just said. Mm. Okay. So do I help people, do I help kids deal with bullying? And it's kind of a yes and a no. Let me take a step back. Huh?
Yeah.
So one of the workshops that I run is about how to make your dreams come true, how to be. So what do you need to do? How do you need to feel? How do you need to think? And who are you? You know, how do you need to be? So we'll go through that.
Okay.
We'll go through that in a workshop setting, like a group coaching activity fun workshop setting. Yeah. So this is for 8 to 11-year-old kids.
Mm.
So it's about, and it's fun. It's about positive pomegranates, confident coconuts, cheerful cherries, and having fun. That's what it's about. Then we talk about ignoring people that can't make your dreams come true. Tell you that you can't make your dreams come true. And it's about where your feelings really come from. And from that, it's a very short hop to making kids bullyproof. Because the kids realize and making them, so what I mean by bullyproofing kids is why no bully can make you feel sad. And so it's about an insight. It's about the child seeing that for themselves.
And I guess that's why you work with the parents as well, because you've got to alter the parents' perception around it for that to be delivered to the child.
Yes.
Because we often have like conflicting ideas as parents, don't we? You can have the mother and the father both would deal with it in opposite ways.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We do. But we can't, whether you're a parent or not, me and my missus haven't got any. We've got two Labradors and two pigs. We've got no kids. Mm. So people say to me, well, what qualifies you to do what you do? I said, well, the fact I've worked with 1,600 kids. And the fact that from the first sessions, a third of the kids would tell me that bullies couldn't upset them anymore after a 40-minute workshop. So those are my qualifications. Those are my qualifications.
And the kids do absorb information better than adults because we've got all of those old ideas, haven't we, sitting in our system?
Yeah.
That we think are the right things, and
they're
like sponges, aren't they?
They're like sponges, and they suck up the good and they suck up the bad.
Mm.
But they don't actually realise that they can put a waterproof covering on that sponge, a breathable fabric around that sponge, and so a breathable fabric keeps the rain, you know, like on a cagoule, it keeps the rain out, but it lets the heat It keeps, yeah, keeps the rain out, but it lets the heat from the body out into the atmosphere. So they realize that other kids can't upset them. They realize that, you know, feelings are an inside job.
Yeah.
But they learn that through experience. They experience that. So they don't get it, you know, intellectually or theoretically or academically or in their head. They get it in their bones. They get it in the heart. They get it in the soul.
Which is where it's most important, isn't it? Because it's your feelings that attract all of this stuff to us, the way we feel.
I don't know about I don't know about the attracting stuff the way we feel. I don't know whether that's true or I don't know whether that's true or not. What I do know is that feelings always ever feelings only other feelings only ever come from thoughts. Some of those thoughts, obviously, you know, the subconscious, because we've got 70,000 of them in a day. And I also know that we can't share with somebody else something that we don't have already. We can't teach something that we don't know ourselves, which is why I work with parents, because I help them get this stuff in their bones. And once they've got their stuff in their bones, once they've seen this stuff for themselves, they're in a better position to point it out to their kids.
Yeah.
So ask yourself, is this for me? Give yourself some boundaries. Learn to trust your intuition now.
What signs should a parent look out for to know whether they need someone like you to help them?
Well, I don't know whether anybody needs me or not. I mean,
Well,
all I'll do.
they must be searching to find you in the first place, mustn't they? So they must be in a position where they feel that they need
Well,
someone
yeah,
else to help them.
perhaps, yeah, maybe. You know, different people. I'm a big believer. I'm actually a big believer in you know, getting our defense in first. You know, I'm a believer in. I hesitate to use the word, but I'll just say it anyway. Immunize. I'm a fan of actually being proactive. We immunize our kids against. We're going to immunize people against COVID, aren't we? We immunize our kids against certain diseases, but we don't actually immunize them against mental health disease. We don't build resilience. We wait until the situation gets really bad and then we do something about it. It seems to be something about the way that that we are culturally. So I'm a big fan of proactivity rather than reactivity. But how do I, so how does somebody know if they don't if they need some help? Well, if they can't fix it themselves, really, I guess. So if the child is, you know, lost their mojo, lacking a bit of confidence, the self-esteem's dropped, they're a little bit unhappy, and you want to do something about it, then you need to do something about it, whether that's from me or, you know, people got lots of different options in terms of what they do, but they need to, they, this sounds a bit grandiose, but they need to be the change that they want to see in the world.
Yeah,
That's something that Gandhi said, you know, you
that's
need
the, yeah
to.
that's somewhere I come from as well. That's how I felt for a few years. What impact would you like your work to make in the world?
Oh, I'd like it to change the world. I get, but I've been very hung up on that actually, because in my old job, in my old business, we had a publishing business, and we had huge impact. By huge impact, so our biggest project was a few years ago, a lot of years ago now, in the 90s. We produced 5 million copies of Roald Dahl's Guide to Railway Safety and distributed them free of charge to all the schools in the UK to stop kids getting killed on railway lines in some holidays. So I'm used to really huge impact, you know, websites with millions of people visiting them every month. And that's what I would like for my own work. But I keep on beating myself up about that. So I've changed a little, I've changed tack a little bit. I just want to do a little bit more each day, you know. And so you gotta change the kid, you only change the world one family at a time, You know, one parent at a time.
And one person listening has the power to change the whole of the community around them. So
yeah, we need more leaders, don't we? We don't need more followers.
Yeah.
We need more leaders.
Yeah.
So
definitely. What suggestions could you make for any parent who's struggling with their child or children right now, particularly with what's going on with COVID and that we're in lockdown again?
Give yourself a break. You know, beating ourselves up, it seems to be a bit of a natural and a national pastime. I'm really, really good at it. I'm world class. I'm world class at beating myself up. And until I kind of like, I don't. So I'd say, you know, stop. People have already got enough on their plate. They've got enough on their plate. Part of being a change in the world is just being a bit kinder. Be a bit kinder to yourself. You know, you were talking about self-love before.
And knowing that you're enough is,
you know,
whatever you are doing right now. The whole world is in this together, really, aren't we? So whatever you are doing right now is
enough,
enough, as long as you are being kind.
Well, yeah, but then people are going to beat themselves up about not being kind on themselves, aren't they?
As long as they're not abusing anybody.
As long as they're not abusing anybody. Yeah. Enough. Yeah. Well, there's enough. And enough. I heard that about this time last year. And I thought, yeah, you know, we are enough. And, you know, enough as in enough. I've had enough of this. Or we're enough as in we are enough. Mm. We are enough. But maybe that's downplaying it a little bit. You know, we wouldn't say to a kid, oh, you're enough, are you?
Yeah. No, my grandchildren, I'm telling them they're absolutely adorable and beautiful, and because they are.
They are, yeah. And that's who we are as well.
Yeah.
So my favourite metaphor is, and it's not one of mine, is the metaphor of the diamond. We see the brilliance in our kids. We look into the baby's eyes and we look into the child's eyes and we see that love and we see that perfection and we don't need the Rolex or the small bum. We see the perfection in the diamond and we see the brilliance in that. And then we go through life and we pick up manure from the world around us. I often use a different word to manure. And we start to think, and we pick up manure-y thought. And we go through manure and we think that manure is us, but it isn't us, because we're the diamond. That diamond's just been hidden by a bit of manure. So, and a diamond isn't enough. The diamond's bloody brilliant. So, are we? You know, am I playing small by saying, you know, I'm enough? And then we're into all sorts of British cultural stuff about modesty. Tall daffodil and all that sort of stuff, but you know, I don't see this as big-headed, because I think we're all diamonds.
Yeah, it's time we started to realize that and bring our children up to feel like,
yeah. And but the, here's the thing, right? If we can't see that for ourselves, we can't point it out to our kids.
Yeah,
our kids, kids know. They've got a radar. They've got a detection radar.
Yeah.
So that, and also, so if we're struggling with the way we feel about ourselves, they see that. And also, if we don't see it for ourselves, we can't point it out for our kids. And also, they need to see it for themselves as well. So this is one of my little lines, actually, because the diamond wasn't mine, but I came up with a great line about this time last year. Chatting to a friend of my wife's, I said, "There's no such thing as a secondhand epiphany. You know, there's no such thing as a hand-me-down insight. You can't get a nearly new epiphanette, which is like a small epiphany. We have to see things for ourselves. We have to see things for ourselves. So the kids have to see things for themselves. So telling a child doesn't work.
No."
It works if you shout at, you're shouting at them and you're just trying to keep them safe because they're about to run over So I was a kid, you know, when I was a kid, I got knocked down by a car. And mum wasn't with me, but if she had been with me, she would have shouted at me to stop, you know. So that's, you know, that sometimes this stuff works. But you know, there's an old phrase, an old saying in selling that, you know, selling, telling isn't selling. What we say to people doesn't matter. It's what they hear. What, yeah. So they need to see it. I'm labouring the point a bit, perhaps. They need to see it for themselves. So
No, I
we need
understand
to.
that because sometimes with things that I've been teaching, some people are not even in a place where they can hear you.
No.
They can't even take it. They just can't hear you at all. So
No.
there's other ways that you need to find to get the messages through, isn't there?
Yeah, and need to as a mentor of myself, you need to push on the open doors. So yesterday I put a post on. So I'm narrowing my focus to kind of like adoptees and adopted families, because a lot of my not good enough feeling came from that. And so I put almost a message on a Facebook group for adoptees, and it said, you know, what's helped you come to terms with being adopted? And a lot of the answers said nothing. They said nothing, nothing. I am, well, they couldn't see the diamond. They thought they were the manure, you know, and they're not, they're what another friend of mine calls underground daffodils. They're not ready for it. They're not ready for it. They can't see the light
No.
because they're underground. So however much we say to them, have you seen the sunshine? Well, they can't see it.
No.
Imagine trying to explain the sunshine to a blind person.
No.
They can't see it. They can't understand it. They can't experience it for themselves. They're just not in, they're not capable of doing it. And some people are still incapable because they're underground, and they're in that, and so am I. This is who I am as well, or where I am. Sometimes it's not our fault if we can't see stuff.
No, it's not. You're gonna love yourself with all your heart. If you don't already, it's time to start. 'Cause nothing's gonna work out until you do. You want to share a bit more about the adoption personal story?
It started, I was adopted when I was 5 weeks old, and I was told young. I was told very young. I was told so young that I don't even remember being told. And but I know that I was told, and I know that I'm pretty sure that I was told with the aid of a book. So there was a storybook about a couple that adopted a child, and the run up to that. And that book was in my bookshelf as a kid. I don't know where it is now. So I was told. And I had an adopted sister as well, a couple of years younger than me. And she used to say things like, you know, have you ever thought about finding Earth Mother, whatever? I said no, and it didn't, you know, it wasn't an issue for me. And then I found out at the age of 40, I found out that my teddy bear that I'd had for as, you know, long as I could remember was actually a gift from my birth mother. And I felt at the time, well, that's interesting, because they haven't told me that. Mum and dad haven't told me that. Well, that's interesting. And literally, that's all I thought. That's interesting. Well, slightly curious. But that reaction changed very dramatically. I was talking to somebody about the story, and suddenly this huge anger came up about it. So nothing had changed. Nothing changed really, other than the thought in my head. So that was really what set me. So a combination of the fact that my kind of business success hadn't made me happy, and this stuff that sent me in the direction of the kind of the journey, personal, whatever you want to call it. It's an overused word, isn't it? So a cliched word. So that's what sent me on it. But that's when I, so yeah, that's been huge for me. That's been huge for me, what I've learned. You know, we talk about our identity, for example, who we are. Well, I've had two names, so we can't be our name, can we?
No, I've had three now, so two failed marriages. They weren't failures. I learned a lot from those. But yeah, I've been three different people.
You mean three? Well, you haven't. You're not.
I sort of have. I sort of. No, no, but you do. You do. I don't know.
Well,
I've evolved. I'm a different person. I was a different person in each of those marriages, and I'm a different person again now.
Well, yeah. Our personalities evolve over time. Mm. But we're not our personalities either. We're not our personalities. We're not our names. With that, underneath all that, we're all that diamond thing. And I don't know. Does that seem esoteric to you, Katie?
Does that seem
esoteric? Does that seem fanciful rubbish? I don't know.
No, I'm all for esoteric anyway. So.
Okay, cool. So that's really the part of the adoption story. I don't know whether you want me to.
You said that you wanted to help adoptees and adoptors
I do for the last 7 years I've been doing this kids happiness stuff, and my own learning has been fueled by the adoption. So it was really that I'm looking to go in that direction because I learnt a lot myself, and I get this feeling from seeing what adoptive parents say that they don't know what's going on for their adoptive kids. So I figured that my experience and the learnings that I've had and my way of empowering kids to be happy and confident, make their dreams come true, be resilient, be bully-proof. I figured that if we put all that in together, that's like something that
would be helpful.
Might help some adoptive families. And there's quite a lot out there that says that adopted kids struggle. So why not do something about it?
Yeah, that sounds great. So ask yourself, is this for me? Give yourself some boundaries. Learn to trust your intuition now. Finally, Simon, where can our listeners find you?
Simon Ben with two N's .co.uk is the best place to find me. And there's all my contact details on there. And there's lots of videos and links to videos and articles, because people have to be sure that somebody's genuine, really.
Yeah.
Hopefully your listeners will have heard that from what I've said, but who knows? You know, we have to be careful about who we listen to.
There's all sorts of different perspectives on different issues, isn't there? I've been caught up in some of those myself. So, and then you've got the codependency model and the pro-dependency model, which are both oppose each other. So you end up stuck in the middle, not knowing which way to turn. So you do have to be careful, because you can take on all these different ideas and end up more confused than ever, can't you? And the situation gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simplicity is
the answer.
Simplicity is the answer.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Soulful Valley podcast. I hope that you've heard something today that makes your life a little lighter. Our aim is to share love, light and wisdom, and to raise consciousness and ease suffering. If you've enjoyed this show, please subscribe, rate and review, and let others know about this podcast if you think they would benefit from listening to it. For a free EFT guide, or to join my Alignment Seekers free Facebook group, or to work with me one-to-one,
you can find more information at Soulful Valley on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and you can email me at soulfulvalleypodcast@gmail.com. Bye for now.